हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 16, verses 31 to 44. Lord Krishna instructs the royal order. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continues. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, who is especially devoted to the Brahmanas, who embodies the essence of religion, then spoke to his personal associates and thus instructed the royal class in general. Srila Sanatana Goswami remarks, Krishna spoke to the Yadus using logic and proofs in order to teach all Kshatriyas by his own conduct and to teach by the example of Mriga, since he was Dharma itself, or the cause of Dharma, and the best protector of the Brahmanas and devotees, since he was the son of Devaki, full of all powers, Bhagavan, an attractor of the hearts of even sages. So he himself is teaching by his own example. He is Dharma itself. He's the personification, because Dharma means to follow the laws of God. The laws of God come from Krishna, and the laws are what Krishna does. So that means he automatically is following that, because that's where it comes from. In other words, what God does, that's what establishes Shastra. And so, of all individuals, then the Brahmins especially, they follow the law. And so then they're most dedicated to that and trying to see the Supreme in all aspects of their life. So that's why then they're in that special position. And the devotees, then they're dedicated to the, beyond that, to pleasing the Lord. So then they're the top aspects. And so he's full of all powers, all prowess, everything like that, but it's not that he doesn't attract the heart of the sages also, who are renounced from the world. So those who are involved in the world, in this case then the Yadus, and those who are renounced from the world, the sages, they all are attracted to Krishna. Lord Krishna said, how indigestible is the property of a Brahmana, even when enjoyed just slightly, and by one more potent than fire. What to speak of kings who try to enjoy it, presuming themselves lords? I do not consider hala hala to be real poison. Okay, so here it's got two long. Hala is long.
We saw this.
Because you see it sometimes, just the first one's long, sometimes the second one.
Actually, there are versions of it. Hala hal, hala hal, hala hala. Hala hala.
Oh, okay. So all of them.
All of them are correct.
Oh, okay. I do not consider hala hala to be real poison, because it has an antidote. But a Brahmana's property, when stolen, can truly be called poison, for it has no antidote in this world. Right? So Krishna is trying to establish, because otherwise someone who feels that they have authority, especially that of power or money, then they'll try to take anything that they can get their hands on. So then this stops that there has to be authority. No matter what one's position, there always has to be authority. So we see is that very much, especially with the Kshatriyas here, with everybody, but with the Kshatriyas, then that authority is always established. That's the first thing to discuss when you're dealing with kings. The duty of kings is the first thing is, does he have a Brahman? Then he has the Brahman, then we can talk about everything else. So, because unless he's established that, how can he perform the duties of a Kshatriya? Because the Kshatriyas are simply practically applying the practice of Brahmins for everybody. that's what's going on. The Brahmin, he knows it, he follows it himself. The Kshatriyas, they know it and they make sure everybody follows it. Right? So that's the thing, is that the Brahmin, he'll instruct it, but the actual following up to see that people are doing it, that's the Kshatriya. So that connection between the two is very close. So therefore, there always has to be this authority. And then for the Brahmins, why are they in this position? Because for them, then this is the scriptures, the supreme, the Lord, then he's the authority. Right? For a king, it's just he's powerful, that's it. You understand? So that's the difference, is that you have to be able to take it farther. You have to have that authority. Yes.
Arch, nowadays this the concept of Brahminical culture is very much, we can say, misunderstood, because we function in a different position. We may have a position of a Brahmana without the qualification, which is the secondary angas,
yes,
not the Swarupa Lakshana,
right, right,
all the Tathastas.
Right.
And then this particular part of Bhagavatam explains that we should be very careful. But then on one level, all the devotees, they are Brahmanas. But then on another level, we are not, you know, everybody is a Brahmana. We function, you know, in different capacities.
Right, right, right.
So then Brahminical culture at large, we can really get it together, you know, who fits where.
Well, you have Brahminical culture, meaning the cultural aspect of it, the ashram aspect of it, and how to connect everything in your life to Krishna. So that what makes it Brahminical culture. Then within that, how do you situate yourself? Are you a student? Are you a family person? Are you retired? Are you renounced? So in this way, then you establish where you fit into the Brahminical culture, as all devotees practice Brahminical culture, and in that way, all devotees are Brahmins. But when it comes to occupation, that's where you have to make the distinction, because knowledge is higher than the application, which is higher than the, you know, economics, which is higher than just the skill to apply it. You know, so you have to know the hierarchy, because otherwise you may have influence, but if you don't know how to influence by Shastra, your influence will make a problem. You know, and you may have money, and because of that, you can buy everything, but if you don't know what's actually to be done, it'll cause problem. Or you have the knowledge and skill, but you don't know the basis on what it... So that's why then there's the hierarchy there. So that, one has to be able to distinguish between the two. There's the occupation you do, and then there's the ashram side. So because for us, we're performing the devotional activities from basically the ashram side. So then anybody who has those qualities can take part. But when it comes to the varna, then you have to see is where one's applying, that's how it has to work. So just like, for example, one devotee I know of, he was the head pujari, you know, at the temple. But he wasn't maintained by that. So he's the head pujari by ashram. Because he has that inclination, he does puja, he does all those kind of things. So he does that, and because he knows that better than most, and he's quite comfortable organizing it, so therefore he's the head pujari. But to maintain himself as an occupation, he doesn't do it as a head pujari, he does it as someone who has a job. Does that make sense? So in that way, then, from that point, when he's out in the society, and then doing his job, then he has to follow the duties of his position of having that job. So he has to properly respect, you know, whoever the boss is, whoever's connected with it, what's the company that he's working in, what his purpose is, and all those, and he has to follow those rules. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they're two different things. By not distinguishing, then sometimes we can make a real mess of it. You know, but you have to know what goes where, because as far as devotion goes, yes, then whoever it is anywhere can make a comment if they're devotionally more developed. But when it comes to actually the varna aspect, you can't. You have to be careful who's making comments. Yeah, yes.
So Brahmanas, they have six kinds of occupation that they can maintain themselves.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This is how money comes to them.
Yes. Yes. So in other words, we have the aspect of all devotees are brahminical by ashram, by that practice, by the sadhana and all these different things. But there may be differences on how well they're situated within that, but point is that's the point, because it's all about Brahman. So that's why devotees are automatically Brahmins. But it doesn't mean that they're automatically occupationally Brahmins. Right? Like that. Not that they can't teach scripture or these kind of things, but the point is it's not that they themselves would be maintaining themselves by that. Like Arjuna, like Prabhupada's pointing out that in those verses about that Krishna spoke this knowledge to the sun god, and then who spoke it to Ikshvaku, who spoke it to Manu, and by the time it was lost, right? The parampara was lost. So that being lost, that technically establishes Arjuna as the head of that line again. But he's not maintaining himself by that position. He's a Kshatriya. But devotionally, then he may be the head of that particular line. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it just makes things very easy if the two go together. Like Lord Brahma is a Brahmana and he's the head of the line. It works out really well. You know, no one can really complain. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah.
But Maharaj, these days, like the whole system is spoiled and the Brahmanas aren't maintained properly, like how they're meant to be given charity, and they're very much not.
Yeah.
So would you completely disqualify someone? Like someone's got the...
No, the point is you have to separate the two. It's ideal that you're not. But the point is one's going to follow one's devotional life and the brahminical standards in one's own personal life. How you maintain yourself, then you have to see what qualifications you have and what you do. Now, if you can do that by brahminical activity itself, then great. But if you can't, then you pick the next best. You know, and keep on going till it works.
But then you'd call that person a Shudra? Or you'd call them...
No, because amongst Vaishnavas, we don't identify like that. It's just for who does what. It's just like... You go into the kitchen, you know, during the Janmashtami festival and help washing pots. Now, are you a pot washer? No. So the same thing is that's just what you do to maintain yourself. You understand?
I think this thing would confuse me.
It's not an identity. For us, Varnashram is not an identity. But it doesn't mean that the system of Varnashram isn't what's used. It's just not an identity.
No, I understand that, but I think when there's a lot of devotees out there that are trying, that don't even want anything to do with Varnashram because it's confusing them, I think this is one of the...
That's there, it's confusing, but the point is you what Prabhupada says, you apply it. You try to make it all work. We don't pick what parts we like and what parts we don't like or stuff like that. You have to understand the whole thing together. But it's not that it's not even so much that they reject Varnashram, it just doesn't make sense to them, so they don't see its viability. So it's not that I understand it very completely, but I see the flaws in it, so I'm working on a higher level. I don't even understand it, so I'm not working at that. So
that's exactly what I'm saying. They don't, because these things make it a bit complicated. That I'm
no, but it is complicated. It. Otherwise, what modern social system can bring together intellectuals, politicians, industrialists, and artists?
None.
Name me one. None of them. Yeah. Or a system that works really well for celibate students, family persons, retired persons, and renounced persons. And then that group can work with the other group. So all these four can interact, everybody can be situated, get what they need exactly, and not disturb the others. There isn't one, so of course it's more sophisticated. But the point is it requires the mode of goodness to appreciate. And so if we maintain the attachment to our modern culture, which is based on passion or ignorance, so unless we're the guy driving the Bentley, there's a good chance we're the one in ignorance. And he's got a touch of passion. That's why he's got the Bentley. Right? So, therefore, then we lack the qualification to follow it. So it's only because of the devotional side of being engaged in devotional service. And therefore, applying that in our life, that we have the brahminical qualification from ashram. So when that becomes nicely established, that we're able to use those qualities in varna, then you can start to apply the whole varna ashram system. But otherwise, generally devotees are comfortable with the ashram system. I mean, they'll still, you know, make snarky comments, but the point is it's basically accepted. The varna side's not, because then everybody's worried about prestige, so it's a mode of passion. No one wants to be the Shudra. Right? So, therefore, then, that's where the problem comes. It's because of maintaining attachment to passion and ignorance, we can't use varnashram. Like that. So when we give it up, it's a matter of duty and what the condition, because it's like this. If I identify with the grossness of the body, therefore, and it's worried about prestige, therefore, unless I have a position that's higher, then I'm not going to be much interested in varnashram. Right? Does that make sense? So that's going to be the difficulty. But now if I am able to separate that I'm not the body, but the body is the body, that has to be accepted. We're not the body, but the body is the body. Why? Because it's a manifestation of aspects of the universal form, so therefore there are specific laws that govern it. And the particular combination that's there fits into the varnashram system in a specific place. We're not that, but that's what it is. You know, just like a hammer is a hammer and a saw is a saw. It's not that, we're not these tools, Prabhu. You know, but the point is that still doesn't mean that it doesn't function the way it does. Just because I say that magic statement doesn't now change that I can use that saw now for a hammer. I can't do that. I might use it as a musical instrument. That you could do, but that's only because it can do that. I can't use the hammer so much. You know, I mean, maybe, but I wouldn't recommend it. Yeah. I don't know, even though Peter, Paul, and Mary, though, sang about a hammer, right? Yeah. So does that make sense? So, the whole point is that when we actually get the qualification of functioning on we're not the body, then we can accept the varnashram. But as long as we think we're the body, we will say we're not the body to avoid varnashram. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's a very difficult position. One has to be very careful about it. So the point is if we're established in devotional service and continue like that and avoid offenses, that means then avoid offenses, we have to be developing at least enough good qualification to not bother others. Then, by that, we can perfect our life and go back to Godhead. But as a general social and community, it will always be very, very weak. Because we're talking about community development means varnashram. You know, it's like saying, yes, we're totally into, you know, eating, but, you know, this cooking business, where, you know, like that, you know, that's archaic. We're not into that. That's, you know, our grandmother used to do that, but we're modern people. We don't cook.
Right? Yeah, I'm asking because I want to encourage devotees.
So here's that point of indigestibility, because if you don't digest something, you get sick. You know, that's the whole point. Lord Krishna, okay. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. One may ask, if it is like indigestible food, it is not so bad as poison, is it? Krishna replies, Shiva could digest the hala, well, here it's halahala poison, so it is not real poison. But there is no antidote for taking from the brahmana. So even Lord Shiva wouldn't be able to digest that. It's just, it's indigestible. So therefore it's poison. Right? Because you get indigestion, there's medicines you can take as an antidote. In other words, by indigestion, it produces toxin in the body. That's why there's a problem. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but there's antidotes, you know, various medicines you can take. But for this indigestibility, there is no antidote. So it will kill you. It will destroy you. Right? Like that.
Is Lord Shiva a Brahmana?
Why not?
Well, you said demigods are mostly Kshatriyas, so I was thinking...
Yeah, but some are not. Like Bhrigu Muni's not. Yeah. You know, Shukracharya's not. But,
What's the specialty of Brahmanas that they're giving so much emphasis?
Because what they do is they base their life on Shastra for the purpose of understanding the Supreme. So it means, Brahmana means one who's interested in Brahman. I think there's a Sanskrit, you know, something.
Brahmajanati
Brahmana.
Yeah. That one.
So, in the sense that even if they don't do that, still they're supposed to be...
if they're following the form, in other words... You have the aspect of understanding the position of Brahman and working for that and following that natural lifestyle that supports that. Because if we're talking about Brahman, then we're talking about not being entangled. So that means we have to not have material desire. We have to be detached. That means there must be purity. So therefore, there's a lifestyle that goes with that to create purity. So that's why the Brahmins, their lifestyles are very clean, like that. So it naturally supports. So if someone has the proper attitude, understanding, and has that lifestyle, no, that's your best. And then the more they're realized in that, then the higher the grade the Brahman. As we saw from Nriga, then how qualified the Brahmins he was worshipping were. Because they had all that qualification. Then you may have someone who doesn't actually know about Brahman but follows the lifestyle. Like that. But still, they're following that lifestyle, and that lifestyle is of value, so therefore, it's still given respect. Then you may have someone who puts on the external garb of, and so in social situations will do the Brahminical things, but otherwise they don't. But if you respect them as the Brahminical position, that's still you get benefit. They don't, but you do. So that's why then we don't have problem with that. So if somebody, you know, you bring something up and goes, "Well, I'm a Brahmin," then you're a Brahmin. You just leave it at that.
So. And the whole situation here with Nriga and those two Brahmins, from the point of view of a regular person who doesn't really know the culture, it seems to be petty. The things that he said he didn't know, and that's it. Should be finished. But they wanted to establish the principle how it should be dealt with.
Yes, because the pettiness comes is that somebody's going to. It's a matter of, do you take Shastra as solid, you know, or gossip as solid. You know, because Shastra may say one thing, but according to gossip, then there's something going on. So then we'll deal with it according to the authority of gossip rather than the authority of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Like that. So everyone's going to have their authority. So the point is the Brahminical culture means the Shastra's authority. So that's why Krishna's showing this. Is like what you said, the common person may consider it petty, but by Krishna bringing this out, it's showing that it's not petty. So that's what you're trying to establish. Because just because it means, in other words, what the common person establishes as values is totally overrated. Because the point is today they establish it, tomorrow they throw it out. So what's the value of it? You know, if today this is important and tomorrow it's not, why should I put my effort into it? It's important. But Scripture says this is important because it's always important. So then you can put your faith, your effort, and everything there. So Krishna is showing, yes, how the common person who would think this is petty and think the Brahmins are at fault and what's wrong with this and that, and that they actually understand the position. Because otherwise, then we'll do that on all different levels. Because if we don't support Brahmins, there's basically a guarantee you're not going to support women, children, cows, or old men either. So if you just choose one, and then not the other, it is political, it's not religious. You know, it's a modern thing of, you know, just, you know, for the cows, but they don't worry about anything else. It's political, it's not religious. Like the vegan thing is political, it's not religious. Mm-hmm. you know, or the thing about women is political, it's not religious, or about the kids, you know, it's political, not religious, because they support one at the expense of the other, so it's not actually religion, because the five go together. You know, just like authority goes together. You accept authority, then you accept all the principle of authority. An individual may be in a position of authority, so the position is respected, though the individual may not be. But at least the position is. Right? And so it's there. But someone who has a problem with any one link within the line of authority, of authority, then has a problem with the whole line. But they, you know, they have a problem with their father, they'll have a problem with the husband, they'll have a problem with, you know, spiritual authority, with Krishna, with, it'll just go with everybody. So that's the thing, is that the same way is there for protection is these five. So you can't have on the level of Dharma, they all go together. You may emphasize one or the other, but you're supporting all of them. You know, it's like someone may have a huge Goshala and really put in the effort there, but the other four he's taken care of. Does that make sense? Or, you know, someone is about, you know, kids and all these things, or someone else. So it can be done in that way, but the all five go together. But when you use pit one against the other, then that's not Dharma, that's politics. Because then it's immoral. I mean, yeah, it means this non-theistic morality. Because it's not about God, and it's not about following Shastra. It's about, I accept this, that's what's the authority. And so that's why we talk like that about the modern. It's weak because it doesn't accept the theistic aspect. Now, that it the concept of morality is there, and culture and all these things, that's good. But because they stop at just what is popular, that's where then it falls apart. Well, if it's, these things are good, but it's based on scripture, it's based on the authority of the Veda, then, so therefore that will temper how I apply it. Right? Because otherwise you always have the end justifies the means. And so they'll always use the wrong, bad means to, because their end is so-called glorious. But it's not actually an end. You know, just like the fall of Shankya. It's not an end. You know, their idea that we are going to liberate yourself, so that being glorious, so therefore, even though we may contradict the Veda, it's still good, because it's a good thing. So this idea of contradicting the Veda because of one's own philosophical position, then that's an ancient thing. It's not a modern thing. Yes, we're modern men, we're so intelligent, we don't just accept, we analyze. No, they don't. You know, they analyze everybody else, but not themselves. So yes. So here, then Krishna's making the point that you have to respect Brahma. So by this one story, then that's done. You don't need a second story. Though you'll see other stories. But you don't technically need a second story. Just this one, you can refer to that and it's done. So.
When he said yes, that there is no antidote to stealing Ramana's property.
Yes.
It's mean. Is it? Can we compare with the Vaishnava Parana?
Yes. It means it gives a bad reaction. So just like it means the aparads, then specifically, I say, and connected with the name, or with the Vaishnavas, with Krishna. And then the piety and impiety, that's connected with law. So we're following the law, so we're avoiding those things. But then on top of that, then there may be, just like you may be very pious and following all the rules, but you're attached to maintaining material attachments, or inattentive while chanting, or, you know, like that. Think Shiva is the same as Krishna. Like, so you can make offenses, but you may be pious. That's what's not understood. So piety is the best material position, or the best position in which to offer things to the Lord. But it's not that the piety makes devotion. Like, you know, just because we protect cows doesn't make it devotional. And it means whatever cows we're protecting and jumping up and down about, there are people here in India that are protecting hundreds of thousands, or even up to, I've even heard of a Goshala has upwards of a million cows, or a group that has like that. So we're nowhere near. We're talking hundreds maximum with ourselves. So, and then saying that makes it devotion. Otherwise, those guys would be like, you know, Mahabhagwats, you know. but they're not. They're just nice Hindus. So we have to understand is that piety is useful in that it's the best activity to engage in the Lord's service as a medium. But it's not that the medium is the message. You know, that's the whole point. It's not. The message is the message, and then you choose the appropriate medium. Right? So, yeah. Right? The medium is the message so that it gives advertising companies in that business. But otherwise, it's the message is the message. Right? Lord Krishna continued, poison kills only the person who ingests it. And an ordinary fire may be extinguished with water. But the fire generated from the kindling wood of a Brahmana's property burns the thief's entire family down to the root. And so these aren't exaggerations. Because here Krishna's saying that. When it says down to the root, it means every last person in your family. And if you're close to your dentist, it includes him and his family. It means it's the full circle of 10. The
Chinese got it down?
Yeah, the Chinese got it down. Like that. The Chinese and the mafia, right? So, you're going to get you. So, that it will destroy everything. So that's the whole thing. There's a few places where it talks like this. So stealing the property of a Brahmin, you know, insulting Brahmin, that's going to do that. And, what's the other? Yeah, insulting a chaste woman will do that, as we see with Draupadi. It destroyed the whole, all Duryodhana, his brothers, anyone connected to him. Like that. So these things, they're very, very powerful. Or punishment, if it's misapplied. It will destroy the person and anyone connected. So you can say, well, I did nothing. No, you're connected to that guy. That's your problem. So that's why in the Vedic system is that everybody would be very, very careful. So then the wife sees that the husband is always engaged in proper religious activities, because if he messes up, then that's where she'll get a reaction, because everything will be destroyed. Yes? The point is this, who would be practicing Brahminical culture but not the occupation of a Brahmin? Who would be doing that?
Devotees.
Only devotees. So when we say Brahmins, we include Vaishnavas. Yeah, so don't take Vaishnava stuff. And the more qualified they are, the worse it is. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Krishna says, even taking poison is preferable to taking a Brahmin's property. Poison destroys the drinker only, right? One may ask, can it be compared to fire, which inflicts death on those who contact it? Krishna replies, salad. Krishna replies, fire leaves the roots intact. The fire which burns the Brahmana's property is a special type of fire difficult to control. Just as a fire burning in an old tree increases and cannot be extinguished by rainfall for many years, this fire burns the tree even to the root under the earth. That is, it destroys the family at its root. So that's why these things are taken very, very carefully. Dealing with Brahmins, the duty of Kshatriyas when they apply their authority and punish them, these things, you have to be very careful with them, because these things themselves, if you're not careful, they will destroy down to the root everything. It means everything, like Ramachandra, then he insulted, I think it was Nityananda Prabhu, and that he just did that. And then after they left, then the Mughals came in, destroyed the whole village and took, you know, whoever fought, they killed them and took everyone else's slaves. So there was no village after that. It was actually burnt to the ground. That was it. And no people there. So it's being pointed out here and there. It's not professed, you know, we're not doing the hellfire and brimstone, you know, approach. like that, but it just should be known so that one is careful. It's not that, oh, we're devotees, we're above the rules, like that. No, this still applies. Doesn't matter. Okay. Lord Krishna continued, if a person enjoys a Brahmin's property without receiving due permission, that property destroys three generations of his family. So when we say down, it means that. It doesn't mean just immediately, it goes three generations.
But Maharaj, around here, like, you know, things get taken from the clothesline all the time, the shoes go missing.
And how well are people advancing?
Yeah, but they're not, but they're not being, their family's not burned to the ground yet. Not yet. Like, it happens quite often. Like, it's bad.
But can we not see gradations here?
Well, you don't know whose shoes you're taking if you're taking
Yes, but the point is you're taking, but the point is then also who's the qualification of who you're taking from, all these different things. So the point is this, results are there. It blocks the devotional development. And so it does have effect. So we want to avoid these things. But it's not that, well, unless it's, you know, the guy takes your gumption and they get, you know, three steps and then turn into a pile of ashes and then, you know, and then you go, see, I told you. That'll teach you. The point is we apply this in our own life. That's the whole thing, is we have to see, so we apply it in our own life. So depending on who you're dealing with and this and that, then the reaction is greater or less. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just the principle has to be accepted, that this is how far it can go.
Okay.
So if we don't accept that, we think, oh, it's a minor thing, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
But it is a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Generally, I was just wondering, can you relate the whole incident to countries in the Middle East that are getting destroyed on us?
Can we? It depends which side of the wall you're talking about.
There's only one side.
There's only one side. Okay. Okay, because who built the wall owns both sides, right? The point is anything. It can be any of these things. It can be this, but it can be that. Generally, because you live in a desert, generally means that you are, you know, fond of killing Brahmins. So that's one of the reactions. It's another thing. You can take anything, but there. But Prabhupada mentioned that there's wars and that the youth gets killed because people are killing animals. They're supposed to protect the animals or not, so then their own children get killed. So these things happen. So point is bad things happen because people don't follow the rules. And that's just the way it works. So specifically how you want to apply this, that's another thing. But the principle is there that we have to take this and do that. So we're trying to catch what's the main thing, because it doesn't please Krishna. That's the main thing. And so therefore there's these forms to please. You don't do them, there'll be some reaction. So it's not about the secondary positions and reactions and this and that. You know, that's for, you know, people get into that and it basically maintains the status quo. But it's not necessarily a nice status quo. Like in European history, it's not generally looked upon as a grand time, what's known as the Dark Ages. You know, because they followed the status quo, and if you were outside the status quo, you generally ended up, you know, as a barbecue. You know, like that. So these kind of, you know, but everybody maintained, but... So it maintains so that they're religious, they do their duties and like this and that, but there's not necessarily great advancement because they can't get beyond that very, very external neophyte vision of it. But at least it maintains that much. You know, they're in one sense a better situation than now. You know, because they won't do certain sinful activities. Well, now they'll very happily do that. Right? And then we can say, no, but people are more accommodating now. Yes, it's only because I want my sinful life to be accommodated by others. So therefore, I'll accept theirs. So it's I scratch your back, you scratch mine. It's not that they themselves follow a very strict, you know, pure lifestyle and can accommodate that others don't. No, it's I follow a sinful lifestyle and I'll accept you following your sinful lifestyle. And this way, then we're buddies. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, and here Krishna is giving the instructions, you know, to Yadus and the, like, to the Yadus basically. And we find that the Yadus are themselves, you know, who break the law in the future, because then they insult the Brahma and then the entire Yadu dynasty is being dissolved completely. They were making fun of that other Brahma.
But what connection you want to make here?
That the Yadus did not follow whatever Krishna is giving the instructions right now.
That's what you want to take from that pastime. Why not take from that pastime that insulting Brahmins gives trouble? That's what you should take. Why take that, oh, they didn't follow. Krishna instructed them, they didn't follow. Why take that side? You know what I'm saying? It means it won't be inspiring. You won't be inspired, you won't inspire others. You know what I'm saying? It's the, I say, the doomsday outlook. You understand? So we want to avoid that. Is that whenever there's something there, then it goes wrong. You know, and if nothing goes wrong, then nothing goes wrong. It's just the way it is. The laws are there. You follow, it works. You don't follow, it's a problem. Does that make sense? Because the point is from the other aspect, who can get rid of the Yadus? They're the Lord's associates. Who can get rid of them? No one. So therefore, there has to be a way that they go. And so, what's the best way to get rid of something so powerful? Yeah, insulting a Brahmin. Or the curse of a Brahmin. That will always work. You know, it's just like Krishna wants to get, you know, lighten the burden of the earth. Right? So now, you can spend a whole lifetime doing that. Or you can spend 18 days. Right? So that's efficient, right? 18 days? Yes. Not bad. So, then 18 days, but then how something so powerful could work, right? It's because they insulted Draupadi. So therefore, then you have to have something very powerful to work. So then, and then we gain from that, don't bother people. Like, you know. Does that make sense? So that's what we're supposed to learn. But if he takes it by force or gets the government or other outsiders to help him usurp it, then 10 generations of his ancestors and 10 generations of his descendants are all destroyed. So it gets even more. So it's taking the, it's making, how you say, the circle of 10 look like kid stuff now, right? Footnote 4. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Tri Purusha refers to oneself, one's sons and one's grandsons. On the other hand, as pointed out by Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book, if someone becomes a pure Vaishnava or devotee of the Lord, 10 generations of his family before his birth and 10 generations after will be liberated. So in the same way as then, see, it's just like if you do something yourself, it's bad. If you get others to help you do it, so you, then it's worse. Right? So if you take it, then it'll destroy, you know, 3 generations. But if you get others or take a force, get the government or, you know, some politics and that way get it, then it will destroy, you know, all that you're liberating, supposed to be before and after you, it'll destroy them all. So we just see it gets worse. You know, like you have a bogus philosophy, you follow it, you know, you have faith in it and a very, you know, how you say, one pointed in your determination. Yeah, you'll have problems. But if you preach it, then you'll get 100 times the problems. So the same way as we see is that the Veda is about how things should work, because wrong things can't be propagated. It can't expand. They have to be contained. So, yeah. Members of the royal order, blinded by royal opulence, fail to foresee their own downfall. Like what you see here is they're going to be themselves 10 generations before, 10 after, and then themselves. That's 21. Okay, now we have an example. How many generations did Parasaram destroy? 21. So that's the whole point. It's that, you know, you get to that point because he's the government, he's using his men, he's using the whole thing. So it destroyed 21 generations. Members of the royal order, blinded by royal opulence, fail to foresee their own downfall. childishly hankering to enjoy a Brahmana's property, they are actually hankering to go to hell. For as many years as there are particles of dust touched by the tears of generous Brahmanas who have dependent families and whose property is stolen, uncontrolled kings who usurp a Brahmana's property are cooked, along with their royal families, in the hell known as Kumbhipaka. Right? So you get destroyed, that's in this life. Then there's hell on top of that. So therefore, whatever tears, because when a tear drops on the ground in the dust, it will, I don't know what we'd call coagulate, a certain amount of dust particles. Right? So so however much that gives that pain to that Brahmin or the family who are dependent upon that Brahmin, the tears that they have, how much particles of dust that would all bring together, that's how many years they'll be cooked in Kumbhipaka. So it just, you know, we thought it was bad and it's getting worse. Now it's getting better. So in other words, this is something to avoid. Right. So in other words, don't steal the other brahmachari's kopins because you'll get more than a rash. Yeah.
A question of the Vaishnavas, what we're reading right now, there's a platform of the Hasas, but could you elaborate on understanding that as the Vaishnavas, there really aren't problems or obstacles, but there are really opportunities for creativity? That's what you're reading, like Draupadi, this is horrible, but the whole creative energy came out of it in 18 days, and mm-hmm. You know, it looked bad, but it really wasn't. Krishna consciousness, we see so many.
Because both things are happening at once. Mm-hmm. The point is that you should be involved in the proper activity, that's the inspirational aspect. They should avoid the improper, that's then the warning. So in other words, always remember Krishna, never forget. So you have both sides. That makes sense. So when you can see both sides, it works a little better. If you see only one side or only the other side, if you only see the nice side, then people will say that you're, you know, too idealistic or too sentimental. If you only see the pessimistic side, then you'll get that will be the complaint. So you have to know both of them. But you have to know is the ideal is the main, and the negative is to avoid losing the positive. Does that make sense? I'm only making the point here because the conversation started out a few days ago is what's the big deal? You know, why didn't the Brahmins just take the cows? You know? But we're talking about relationship, we're talking about authority, you know, the personal elements. While we're thinking here is, oh, they're Brahmins, where's the personal aspect? It's all impersonal. We're saying, no, but those Brahmins could have been more forgiving and this and that. But we haven't mentioned one personal item here. Everything we've discussed is totally impersonal. It's just a Brahman platform. But where do those qualities come from? Where everything else? But we're taking out the quality of forgiveness on its own, not connected to devotional service, not connected to the Lord. Just it itself is supposed to be glorious. And then based on that authority of my appreciation of that glorious position, that's why it should be done. There's no consideration of what the Shastra says. You know what I'm saying? So it sounds great, but it's actually just a political position. It's not actually that great at all. It may be a nice political position as opposed to a not nice political position. But it's still political. So unless it's this Shastra says this is what we're supposed to do, and what we're supposed to do and avoid, then only we get to Dharma. Otherwise, it's morality, yes, but it's non-theistic. It's not accepting Shastra. And that theistic accepts Shastra. Now, whether it's real theistic means it's about Krishna's pleasure, or it's quasi-theistic in that it's actually for our own benefit, though we accept God's laws, then those points are to be seen, or this, you know, to be ascertained. Does that make sense? So there's more here than just what is the political flavor of the day. That's not the authority, because politics are a tool used by Kshatriyas who follow Dharma. But to take politics as the authority, then you have to drop below Kshatriyas down into the economic field. So the best you get is bourgeois. That's the best you can get out of it. And then we shouldn't be trying to present that as something spiritual, as community, as governance, you know, as authority. It's not. It's just economics, that's all. You know? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Just because we use the words doesn't mean that it's special. Yes?
This kind of what Krishna is saying, it's in our present day, it's often considered as not nice preaching, like.
But the point is you don't go out, stand on the street corner, and start to talk this. You know, unless you have two boards, you know, like that, then you can do that. And a long beard and barefoot. Yeah.
That's right.
Because where is this going to come up? This is one story in 90 stories. So this whole idea is, oh, that won't be great preaching. But who are we preaching to? Devotees. Who's had the doubts? Are there any karmis here? But we've been on this chapter now for a week because of these doubts. So that's the whole point, is these are for the devotees. So the karmis, it's that, you know, you have to accept God, his laws. That still applies. And just because someone says, oh, that's not good preaching, better they say, no, I don't know how to preach in that field. So therefore, I won't do that. Or if it's a field that I would be interested in, then you who are able to do that, why don't you teach? Why don't you train us? Rather than because I can't do it, no one can do it. Right? Because that's you know, that mentality is there. That's why the Shastra quote, whatever I think, then that's good for the universe.
I'm just thinking, why did objection comes at all?
Because we're attached to the position that I will do things wrong, everybody else will forgive, but no one else should do anything wrong because that will impact on me. So in other words, it's just self-centered. And the modern culture cultivates that. Before it was more about doing your duty and everything like that. People take advantage of that, of course. But the point is people not doing their duty, people take advantage of that also. Right? In other words, before then the aristocracy would take advantage of the common person and they would do it and get benefit, but it was considered not that good. It was a generally accepted thing, it was not that good, but it was practical. But now by the modern philosophy, you throw all that out. Now you can just do whatever you like. You don't have to feel bad.
And be excused.
Yeah. Like that. But the other party won't excuse you because that will bother them. But then what they do to your party, then they of course have to be excused because, you know, they were just working for the good. Right? The greater good. That's another one of those all-encompassing draconian,
expressions.
Yes. You understand? So that's the whole difficulty, is that when you drop to the political platform, anything goes. Right? Means if you're following Dharma, you're dealing with human being, one species of life. You know, or a few compatible species of humans. Right? But when you drop down into politics, the economic platform, now you're dealing with 8,400,000. So that's why, even though it sounds to be, no, but we'll get along more, there's less getting along. Because all this is bad for preaching, then why don't we have this fabulous, dynamic preaching going on to these intellectual, professional, successful people in the world that they're just coming in droves to Krishna consciousness? No, we're not. Because the point of, oh, this won't work in preaching, is that due to that as a technique you have to avoid mentioning that point, or is it a lack of faith? Because if you don't have faith in scriptures, you're not very advanced. If you're not very advanced, that potency is not there. So depending on faith, if you have faith in scripture, I guarantee you that back in the 60s and 70s, somebody used this as a point to preach at the Sunday feast and made devotees. Yeah. You understand? So to say it doesn't work, but why did they do it? Because they had full conviction. So their faith in Scripture was very great. Therefore, it worked. And we may be very mature and all that and skilled and knowledgeable, but if we don't have faith in Scripture, the potency won't be there. Therefore, we say, oh, it doesn't work because you can't use it. You know, it's like you go into the very nice kitchen and can't cook nicely. Can you blame the kitchen? So we can't blame Shastra, what the Acharyas say. And if we do, that's lack of faith. That's all. They maybe say, oh, well, we're being practical, this, that. Are we? You know, since when do we, anyone's preaching? No, you got to take the story of Kring Niga. That's the main story that you should make everybody devotees by. Anyone's ever said it? Never. So then, is it actually about the karmis? Or is it about our own conditioning, our own misgivings? Because as soon as we get something that's absolute and all that, then I become scared because I want to speculate. I want to do whatever I like. If there's an absolute truth, I have to bring my life in line with it. Because we have to remember, it was the politically correct professionals who killed Socrates. What did he say? Bring your life. There's an absolute truth. You have to bring your life in line with the absolute truth. And all these politically correct professionals didn't like that. They wanted to make the truth. No, what we as a group say is truth, that's truth. So therefore, then it was arranged through politics that he was the drinker of hemlock. Right? And now nobody knows who those guys are, but everyone remembers him. Right? But even those who follow after him in that line try to kind of eclipse him by making Aristotle the main. Because he talks about here. He doesn't talk about the absolute truth. Right? Because it means if it got Socrates killed, you don't want to profess that too much. You know, so Plato was a little careful, so he wasn't too bold. It's about Aristotle now becoming completely materialistic, then he's preaching very boldly. And so, okay, yeah, he's our man. In a sense, so these are not new things. When the Shastra says chewing the chewed, it literally means it. So the same thing that goes on now, we'll say, no, but it's different, times have changed. No, it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. Right? It's always like that. Right? There's peace, then prosperity comes up, the middle class gets bigger, all these things go crazy. There's war, then there's poverty, the middle class disappears, and then all these kind of philosophies go away. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is they're always, whenever there's peace, then you get the middle class coming up, then you get all these philosophies. Does that make sense? So it's just a natural cycle of political events that keeps going on and on. Nothing new, nothing special. And as we're discussing, in the morning, then these six schools of philosophy, those are standard. So everybody's using, you know, bits and pieces from that to come up with their own ideas. Does that make sense? Paka, yeah, if they're cooked along with their royal families in the hell known as Kumbhipaka. At least everyone will be together, right? It's a family. Whether it be his own gift or someone else's, a person who steals a Brahma's property will take birth as a worm and feces for 60,000 years. Even after the hellish punishment, his life is miserable. Particulars of the thief are given. For 60,000 years, he will again and again be born as a worm. Yeah, that's after being cooked. Okay. I do not desire Brahma's wealth. Those who lust after it become short-lived and are defeated. They lose their kingdoms and become snakes who trouble others. You know, because snakes, there's no reason they should bother you, but they do. You just happen to be walking there, but they don't respect. you know, the how you say, the New York aphorism that I'm walking here, you know, so they bite you anyway. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Vaitam Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Vaishnava ki.